Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the HTI-1 Proposed Rule Task Force. Today may be our final task force meeting, and on behalf of ONC, I would like to sincerely thank the co-chairs and all of the task force members for their incredible commitment to develop recommendations over the past 7 weeks. The co-chairs will be presenting these recommendations to the full HITAC at their in-person meeting next Thursday. After the HITAC vote to adopt these recommendations, they will be transmitted to the national coordinator and submitted as a public comment in regulations.gov. This and all of our task force meetings are open to the public and your feedback is welcomed, which can be typed in the Zoom chat feature throughout the meeting or could be made verbally during the public comment period that is scheduled toward the end of our meeting. I'd like to begin roll call of our task force members, so when I call your name, please indicate if you are here. And I'll start with our co-chairs, Stephen Lane.
Good morning and welcome, everyone.
Steve Eichner.
Good morning and welcome.
Madel Briggs Melanson. Hans Wittenbeck. I think Hans might be joining us a little bit later today. Hannah Galvin. Audie Gunlockley. Jim Jurgis. Han Wu.
Good morning.
Anna McAllister.
Good morning.
Glenn McDonald. Devin McGraw.
Good morning.
Aaron Meary.
Good morning.
Alel Oliveira.
Good morning.
Ikilamo Ocean Kenton. Narish Sundarrajan. Bill Sutherland. And Cheryl Turney is on vacation, so she won't be able to join us today. So please join me in welcoming Stephen Lane and Steve Eichner for their opening remarks.
Well, thank you so much, Mike, and thank you everyone for showing up for this hopefully last meeting before we make our presentation to HITAC. I just can't thank everyone enough for your focus over these many weeks, and I think we've got a great set of recommendations. We will be going, we'll just quickly review our charge and then jump right into the recommendations document that all of you should have available to you. And I hope that you have up on another screen because we're not going to read the entire document. We're going to go through and touch on those items that where we have outstanding comments and questions. But so if people have other issues that they want to address that you've noticed in your own reading, please be prepared to bring those up. And then we'll have public comment 10 minutes before noon Eastern time. Want to always remind members of the public that you are invited to participate in the chat, as well as to avail yourselves of the oral public comment time that we have at the end. See some of our usual friends joining us this morning. So thank you to the public for being here. All right, Ike, do you want to add anything to the introduction here?
I guess the only two things I can add are my gratitude to the task force members for all the hard work they've put in. It's really been an honor to work with such a fantastic team of folks and experts, putting together what I think are a really, really good set of recommendations. And do want to echo, you know, Stephen's offer of public comment at the end. It's always a good thing. We do appreciate the public comment end of it. That being said, I think we've got a few things we'd like to go through, so let's get into it.
Great. On the next slide, I think we will see reiteration of our charges. Here we go. All right, I think all of you will recall the charges of our task force. We will not reiterate those. Next slide, the second page of our charge. And let's go from there. I think we get to jump into the document. Yes, so please, let's pull up the document and we will take it from the top.
And Stephen, when do we want to lock this down completely? No more edits, no more suggestions.
I'm hoping at the end of this meeting. Okay. that's my aspiration, is that we'll get through it. Why don't you go ahead and enlarge that just a bit so that we can see just the document and the comments to the right. Yeah, that's good.
So to say it a different way for task force members, this is a final opportunity.
This is it.
to make suggestions or comments. There's not really an opportunity to say, okay, we'll come back and just make a few wordsmithing choices later on. If it's not addressed now, we're at a hard stop.
Yeah, we've been wordsmithing all night. So I don't think at this point, I think we tend to be wordsmithing in one direction, back and forth, I've noticed. So the first open topic, and I'm sorry Hans isn't here, we may come back to this, is on page 5. There's a yellow highlight.
It's up a little bit.
About halfway down the page.
There you are.
Yeah. And this was our recommendation that ONC include compliance with messaging standards in deployed health IT. In most similar recommendations, we provide examples of what we are meaning. And I thought we might want to include those. And also just for my own edification, I wanted to be clear what we're talking about. So are we talking about V2 CDA Fire as messaging standards or something else? And if no one on the call here knows, I think this was Hans's recommendation, so we could wait until he comes.
And actually, Stephen, this is like, it probably should be transmission or something other than messaging, thinking about Hans's, I'll be channeling Hans for a second, that it's not necessarily strictly about messaging. It's about the exchange.
Well, let's just hold this. If nobody on the call can clarify this, let's hold it for Hans and hope that he does arrive. I really do hope, you know, that some of these are rather lengthy. We've tried to separate out the recommendations and the rationale. But I really do hope that everyone's had a chance to go through these. I know some of you have, because we've gotten great feedback from you. All right, there's some spacing issues here that need to be addressed still, but we've been doing our best to do the formatting as we go. All right, the next topic that I think warrants our attention is Devin. The what you raised, we should be at the top of page 8, I believe. And this was the lengthy discussions we had about patient requested restrictions and their inclusion in certification criteria. You'll recall that we dealt with these both as feedback to what was in the proposed rule, as well as a response to an RFI about what could be considered subsequently. So Devin, do you want to sort of take us through the issues here?
Yeah, this was one where there, at least on the issue of certified health IT providing reports to patients on the disclosure and use of their health information, is one that two different work groups considered and came up with two different recommendations. So this one, I think, came out of group two. And I know I was texting with Anna McAllister about this yesterday because she was involved in recommending this. They're very similar, but they're very different approaches. So this one specifically asks ONC to require certified health IT to provide patients on-demand machine and human readable reports regarding disclosure and use of patients' health information for any purpose. There's also, I mean, maybe this got changed. At any rate, so on that, we'll take that topic first. The way that, and then it goes on to provide a rationale based on audit logs. This should be doable by certified EHRs. And when we spoke about this in group one, we talked about how, in fact, this was an issue that was taken up by the high-tech, original high-tech health IT policy committee, the precursor to the high-tech. A hearing was held, recommendations were issued in 2013, essentially coming to the conclusion, now this was a number of years ago, that in fact, the audit trail had no way of distinguishing between routine internal access and when things were actually disclosed, nor did it capture the purpose of that access, and that generating and that audit trails were largely done for security functionality and not necessarily to produce a report to patients. And testifiers talked about such a report being essentially one that was as tall as the floor to the ceiling. In a large room, because, you know, on each day records are routinely accessed. And so the high tech committee at the time made the recommendation, don't depend on the audit trail functionality. Instead, develop pilot approaches that are going to be more, that are going to capture more of the disclosures of data, because that's actually where the law sits. High-tech mandated that patients be able to get a record of disclosures out of a certified EHR, out of certified EHR. And consequently, there was no progress that was made in either piloting technologies that would enable that disclosures to be captured out of an EHR, even a certified EHR. There were some outstanding policy questions. And so the way that we framed this in the group one recommendation, which is down, I think, on page 14 of this document, was to ask ONC not to create a certification criteria based on audit trail functionality, given what had happened last time that was recommended. But instead to work with outside stakeholders in order to kind of reassess this issue, look at where the technology had evolved, consider whether it is more possible to do this in networked environments, such as through the TEFCA, rather than this recommendation, which I'm not disagreeing with the outcome. I think this was also an outcome that group one wanted to achieve, but the tech isn't mature enough to ask for a certification criteria on it. And there needs to be some more work done on what is possible.
So you're saying, Devin, that today, 10 years later, you're of the opinion that the tech still does not exist, because my perception in reading this is, you know, and through work with care quality, et cetera, is that and within a health system, you know, where we, you know, have maintained and had to report on audit logs, is that my sense is that this is possible, that that systems receive, you know, outside requests, they have a purpose of use specified, the system, you know, largely captures that, and if not, certainly could capture that if there are some systems, that certified systems, that don't yet capture that. So this seemed to me a reasonable request, but you're saying that you're of the opinion that, you know, 10 years later, it still would need to be kind of re-litigated before being considered for certification.
I think it's an open question. I mean, usually we don't recommend things for certification until they're actually in use for the particular purpose for what, you know, and we need to get them in more widespread use and in a consistent standardized manner. So we bake them into the certification process, as opposed to this one. It's quite possible the technology has evolved. I will say that this is framed as disclosure and use. So it looks more like the access report that OCR initially proposed for accommodating the high-tech changes. And that was roundly criticized by industry. And essentially the policy committee did not recommend at the time that it was adopted. There was an extensive effort to look into this. I feel like another effort to dig into this a bit more is warranted. We may find, in fact, that the technology has evolved to the point, but I just feel like we don't know enough about that.
So this should be phrased as recommend that the ONC look into this as opposed to require this.
Right, which is essentially the way that we framed it further down on page 14. We essentially have two subgroups having come up with two different recommendations on the same topic. And I see Anna has signed up.
So yeah, Anna, why don't you go ahead?
Well, thanks, Devin, and I make no pretense whatsoever of understanding the history or the law as well as you, so I will completely defer to you on that, as you know. But a couple of things. One is, I mean, 10 years is quite a long time in the world of health IT. I am not an expert on what the audit trail does and doesn't do or how feasible this is, but I do think it's... it seems to me that this would be reasonable at this point based off of my layperson's understanding of how the technology works. In terms of like deferring it to whether or not we recommend the ONC take a look at how this could be done or whether or not we recommend ONC doing this, my bias would be towards recommending the ONC do this and then let them figure out if it's doable and if it needs to be taken offline and there's a process through which they have to determine the feasibility. It just feels to me like that would be a stronger recommendation and more of an encouragement to ONC to actually take this seriously as opposed to deferring it to a committee. That's just a tactical, that's more of a strategic discussion about what's gonna be most effective in terms of recommendations from the task force and high tech to ONC, but it seems to me like that might be most likely to elicit serious consideration from ONC. And then in addition to that, we got into this, in our work group in the task force through discussions around restrictions. And one of the points that we were discussing within the context of restrictions is concern that patients would restrict data that was absolutely essential for their clinical care and that could be an issue. And part of the reason and rationale that I had in putting it in here in this context is that in an absence of information, fear is the result. And if you've got, a positive HIV test or, a genetic test that suggests you're going to get ALS at some point or Huntington's disease, and you're afraid that everybody will get access to that, your inclination would be to restrict access to the majority of your physicians as opposed to, letting it go. So if I have those risk factors and I understand how the data is being used, I will be in a much better place to act with reason about who can and cannot have access to that information in a way that would best facilitate my clinical care. So I do think it's important if we're going to allow patients to restrict data as we should, that we give them information about who is accessing that data, and not just externally in terms of data sales or research, et cetera, but internally in terms of their clinical care.
Yeah. So why don't we, so Anna, I totally hear you. And I think Devin is right that so much has been discussed about this, that internal audit trails really are likely still impractical, because so many individuals access data for so many workflows that, that as Devin said, an audit trail would be a pile of paper so high that you couldn't, get to the top of it.
I think that's what people are frightened by, though.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that it was unauthorized. It's just it raises more questions than it answers, was ultimately the conclusion of the High-Tech Policy Committee back in 2013.
Yeah, one of the issues from a patient perspective, misunderstanding what the volume might be, just thinking about a hospital visit, and every time somebody looks in the record because they've given me lunch, is it access to my record? And I'm not complaining about that. I'm just saying that as an example, you suddenly end up with this incredible volume of data because patients are not thinking about those components as accessing data. But of course, it is.
So well, let's
need to be more specific about the kind of data that needs to be disclosed. I mean, whether or not there's some sort of a checklist of who got lunch and who didn't is one thing, or whose vitals were taken is one thing, but you know, whether or not they get access to details.
Right. And that's not the thing we're going to solve here and now.
But that's I think
that's part of the scoping issue in looking at disclosure. So maybe it makes sense to kind of differentiate the two and say, hey, where we've got technology that exists on disclosing and tracking, especially between providers, this should come to the forefront. The other may require some more work and more refinement.
Also, the purpose of use is captured discreetly with the request for disclosure, where that is not at all the case in internal use. So it makes those internal outlaws really difficult. Can we scroll down to page 16 and look at the, if you will, competing recommendation, which I think, Devin, you really helped to craft. And see how people feel about this. So in that one there at the top, it is really a recommendation to go back to the earlier recommendations of the Health IT Policy Committee to revisit them, restudy them, and see what progress we are ready to make. And I think, you know, it's absolutely true. It is sort of a strategy and a tactical decision. You know, do we recommend something that we kind of know is not practical, so we set the bar high and we try to get ONC to come reach it, or do we recommend something that really is within their purview and capability in an effort to move it forward? And I think, having been at this for a while now, I think that the closer we come to what they are expecting, you know, and really giving actionable recommendations, the more impactful we are than sort of shooting for the moon in hopes of impressing them.
Or the other pieces, halfway splitting the baby a little bit in terms of the technology is probably in a better place for tracking disclosures between systems, between providers, rather than internal use, especially looking at more detailed information. The inside stuff is, as others have pointed out, largely security issues. So you're just not recording every scrap of information in a format that would be useful to the patients. I think part of the issue here is to give patients data that they can use and have a right to, without creating a huge additional burden on developers or providers in generating that data.
So I would propose that we go with this recommendation on page 16, which I think was thoughtfully crafted and references a lot of hard work that was done previously, in lieu of the earlier recommendation, which I think is sort of us asking for more than is practical. So anyone want to weigh in on that proposal?
I would like to combine the two because I feel like this is something that ONC needs to do. It's time that they do it. It's feasible to do it in form, but perhaps we suggest that it's a thing. Perhaps we say that this is that we recommend that ONC do this and take this on. They just need to figure out the details rather than suggesting that they look into the details of whether or not it could be done.
I mean, I kind of feel like that's captured in the lower recommendation. I know we don't have a lot more time to spend on this. Anyone else want to weigh in?
Yeah, well, I think we ought to be careful about being too severe on how you can communicate. You know, you get given emergencies, that's one situation, consults in the hallway, you know, where, you know, general internist is wondering how to really deal with some special problem, and he catches the surgeons in the hallway. Are we going to have all that locked down?
We don't have a way to capture that.
I think in the earlier one, it is the electronic disclosure, not just recognizing that there may be other pieces. Looking at the disclosure on the screen right now, it probably needs to have, we need to get rid of the word established in the second line to implement established high-tech standards for providing data. There's not necessarily a standard in place, so how can we ask them to use a standard that exists to do it if there's no standard that exists to do it?
I like what you added there, Devin. Again, we're gonna limit discussion on this because we don't have time to get lost in it. I don't want to have to call for a vote. I think Devin has sort of added a piece that gets at what you're hoping for, very reasonably so. Can you live with this? We don't want to leave anyone behind, but.
I think that helps, definitely. Thank you, Devin.
Yeah, and per your comment, Steve Eichner, it's the word standards in the second line is actually meant to mean high-tech provisions. They're not standards, they're legal provisions.
And do we mean implement establish? Okay.
In other words, already has.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. And yeah. just for the record, in the rationale, I believe the reference is to the high-tech, not 21st century. CARES Act and a priority topic for the policy committee, not high tech, since high tech did not exist. Oh, sorry, high tech did not
exist. It was established in 21st century CARES in as a priority for high tech to consider.
No, it was the High Tech Act.
No, the High Tech Act established the changes to the accounting of disclosures.
Right.
The 21st Century Cures Act established high tech us, and okay. Also said one of the priority use cases is this issue.
Okay. That I crossed my link and I wouldn't change it.
Okay. We are going to stick with this one. And I've lined through the earlier one and left Devin's comments there for posterity. Let's scroll back up to the top now that Hans is here. And we are now on page 5 in the middle of the page. I've got a highlighted area. Hans, I wanted to invite you to fill in this blank here. I think this was your recommendation.
Yes, I'm just trying to see. I think it was H7 version 2, but let me check that one for notes on the spreadsheet.
Okay, we'll come back.
Yep.
Thank you. Thanks for taking that. All right, then we, I am going to resolve Devin's comments just because we've been there and done that. That brings us down to Ike's comment on page 9. Wait, that's not true. No, it does. No, I think we resolved that with that whole string, Ike. I think we resolved that with our discussion we just had, correct?
I think the previous discussion just kind of solved that.
Okay, so that's gone.
Hey, Steve, good. This page is labeled as 8. Is that what you mean to be?
Now I want to be, on Ike's comment at the bottom of page 10. Yeah, and I'm using the page finder actually. So my view is different. You're doing the separated view. I was using the page finder on the right. Let's see. I changed the view.
Is this the question?
Print layout. Sorry. No. Here we go. Now I've got the same view as you. So thank you for pointing that out, Clem. Yes. So this is at the bottom of page 8. Correct. My only concern about this suggestion, saying such as the LEAP project, is that LEAP is actually a set of grants that ONC has provided. There was a LEAP project that probably has a title that where this was explored. And I don't think we can refer to the LEAP project so much as naming the specific project. If somebody knows what that is, I'd love to insert that reference. But I don't think we can just say the LEAP project.
Agreed. I think we can find that. Let's...
Okay, so if I don't want Hans to be doing all of our homework, but
is that really practical? Can that be done?
Well, there was in fact a project done on it. I don't know personally, you know, whether they actually got it to pilot, but they certainly did define the model. Do others know more about that?
Yes. Sorry, Hans. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Talia.
I know a little bit about it, Stephen, because of the folks that we worked with in San Diego. My issue is that I'm not quite clear that these hub spoke infrastructure really is what's going to solve this challenge. I was recently in a event at HIMSS that we spent a whole day talking about this, and my summary of that discussion with several leaders, including folks from ONC, is that we don't have a clear pathway here to solve this. So I think, yes, this is something that we need to address from a single patient location, but I'm not clear that the hub spoke necessarily is the track. So not sure if we want to be that specific here.
So maybe we want to stick with explore and support pilots still, as opposed to support development of.
I guess that sounds more reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah, and where we certainly want to take that experience in mind, and I think it's a fair discussion. What works is that there are a couple of things that we know will not work. We also know that that data needs to somehow follow the patient to the stakeholders. It is a model. It's a model that is being explored across other countries as well. And so far, that looks like that has the most promise of actually being able to tick off more boxes than other approaches. So whether it's exactly like what is happening there, fair, but that needs to be worked through. But we certainly should learn from that and other places on what can be done and what can be done practically. So piloting makes sense. Finding first steps that can work either whatever direction we go makes sense. It not necessarily means that we have to implement as is what they have learned there. I'm sure we need more.
So how do you feel about the language as suggested here?
I was wondering to broaden it even more. So it's not just focused on hub and spoke, but hub and spoke is specifically mentioned. So you could say explore and support pilots such as a hub and spoke infrastructure, comma, enabling a patient to have a single virtual location. So that way you've got pilots that are not necessarily just tied to that particular model, but that model is mentioned.
Love it.
Yep.
How do we feel about this? Is this good?
Yeah, I think that's better than the way it was. And you know, just to highlight here that there's so much in this bucket of a challenge. And the example that comes to mind is us trying to consent homeless individuals here in our region and the lack of trust that they have on any information going in any electronic system that can then, you know, haunt them later on, their fears, which may or may not be correct. But whenever we have an infrastructure that's storing information, some individuals are going to feel concerned about it. So just a quick example that there's too much here to be addressed, in my opinion, that needs a lot of thought and testing over time.
Well, that's great, Eliel. You're absolutely right. Okay, shall we move on? We are at my comment in the middle of page 9. As I was reading this recommendation as drafted, I felt that it conflated the patient requested restrictions under HIPAA with the privacy exception under the information blocking rule. And I thought that the recommendation was more appropriately focused on the HIPAA right of access. So that was my suggestion and comment at the top. And lower down, there was a suggestion that when received by certified health IT, the receiving system must receive, view, and operationalize the restrictions requested. And I changed that from a must to a should have the ability to receive, view, and operationalize the restrictions requested, because I really don't think that a must is appropriate here. So comments on those suggested alterations? Ike, you and I had a little back and forth there in the commentary.
Yeah, from my perspective, again, I was just wanted to bring it to the committee's or the task force's attention because it seemed to be a substantive change.
Indeed, indeed. Changing a should to a must to a should is a real deal.
Yeah.
Anybody object to these changes?
I guess the other question is that if we change it to a should, from a practical standpoint, there's no component of enforcement. So that means that you have no expectation that the receiver is going to honor the request.
Well, and again, depending on the request, you shouldn't necessarily have such an expectation. Again, the spirit behind this set of recommendations was to simply flow the metadata down so that the recipient is aware of restrictions that were requested and or respected, and could attend to that as they saw appropriate, which might include operationalizing the same restriction, but in some circumstances, as we discussed, like with self-pay restrictions, that there's actually a requirement that the patient re-restrict. But of course, you don't know to have that discussion or to even consider that if you don't know that it happened in the first place. Similarly with information blocking restrictions, right? I mean, a patient says, I don't want this to show in my portal because of my spouse or my parents or whatever, and then they change to a new provider. You know, you want that to flow down so the new provider, you know, if they're really minding the store, has the chance to say, whoa, look at this. Maybe we should talk about this. All right. And Eliel, your hand is up.
Yeah, Stephen, as I'm reading these, I'm seeing transaction log files here again. I mean, we just talked a bit about the feasibility of getting disclosures from transaction log files. So I think maybe we need to link the two discussions here. And to me, the three topics that we just talked about are all linked together between account of disclosure, consenting, and this specific recommendation. So sounds like a great task force to me.
Indeed. So we do reference the logs here. And we suggest that the fact that a patient requests a restriction be recorded in the logs. So recommend that ONC assure through certification requirements that when a patient invokes their right to request a restriction, that this be recorded.
I agree that it's related to the right to request restrictions, and Anna brought that up earlier in the call. It's kind of bunched together, but it's very different. Accounting of disclosures is actually more of a right to request and receive some sort of accounting or list of where your information was actually disclosed. You could ask for the right to restrict, have it granted or not granted, and then just trust the institution and not ever ask to check on it. And there are different technical functionalities associated with one versus the other, but I don't disagree that they're related. I don't think they're the same though.
I just realized.
Steve, does this accommodate requests to system by between systems? So I'm in an emergency room and I'm trying to get data from hospital X would this hinder that?
No. This is simply saying that when a patient requests a restriction, that request, the fact of that request should be captured and in the log files. And the fact of that request and in the associated metadata should pass with the data when it is exchanged. This does not limit any access. It shares the fact of a requested restriction.
Okay, thank you.
So,
can you clarify the point that you made in chat about about EHI under information blocking rules? Is this going to limit? Is this going to make it easier for institutions to block information from being shared? Maybe she walked away.
I didn't. I'm just trying to get off mute. I'm trying to go between two screens. I'm sorry. My comment was related to the fact that Stephen had struck under the information blocking rules privacy exception, because that's not where the sort of right to request a restriction vests. It's just that if a patient is asked for the data to be restricted, the institution has the discretion to decide whether or not they're going to grant it. In most cases, they don't in the payment in full issue if the patient doesn't want it to go to the health plan. But for other types of restrictions, they are discretionary. What's being proposed here is that request be part of the metadata that goes with the data downstream, assuming the data is going downstream because the institution didn't grant the request. Maybe they're not legally required to. Maybe they counseled the patient, told the patient it wasn't a good idea. Lots of things could happen. If they do grant the request and decide we're not sharing the data, then the data doesn't flow. But that's a decision that the institution has the discretion to make. And if they do that, then the requester doesn't have a way to use the information blocking rules to pry the data out, because they can block it under the privacy exception because they're honoring a patient's right to restrict. They decided to do that, but it is discretionary on the part of the data holder to do that. Again, in most circumstances.
Right. Okay.
So Devin, are you comfortable with how this is phrased presently?
Yes.
Anybody want to object to or modify this? Great. Let me just go ahead and take these. And we will keep going. Good. All right. Hans, can we go back up to the top?
Sure.
Our little yellow box here.
On the page 5, yeah. I
on page 4. It's now in the middle of page 4.
I went back to the spreadsheet, and I believe that a comment from Ike was actually the underlying driver for that, where in the spreadsheet the comment is what compliance fit in with metrics included elsewhere in the rule. I'm not tracking it back to a comment that I made. I was more focusing on overall making sure that everything adds up to a manageable set of work for everybody. So I'm not sure that I really was the one initiating this. I might have.
Okay. Well, when we refer to compliance with messaging standards, and I still turn to you as our expert in one of our experts in standards, which messaging standards would we be referring to here?
Well, generally that would be HL7 version 2, NCPDP, X12. Those are the kind of messaging standards that would be in play. But looking at the comment and going back to the original comment by Ike, but he can speak better to that, compliance fit in with metrics, then the question is, depending on what metrics are in play, it could be any of the standards, whether it's Fire US Core, CCDA, otherwise. That's sure. Why the messaging standard part threw me off a little bit as to in context of metrics.
Yeah, I think my point was that if you're looking at certified the difference between the vendor having developed certified technology and what's actually in play in the field. So you're looking at submitting data to, say, an immunization registry. What is it actually being transmitted in?
And
what is actually in play in the provider's environment?
And that will be, so examples would be is that whether it's immunization ELR or some, and then they are messages version 2 based. If we are looking at, we are certified to, let's say, electronic lab reporting, particular version, when you look at what's actually being used, it's not necessarily that version, it's a variant of that because of different jurisdictional requirements. If you're looking at other parts, a lab reporting in general, we might have been certified to LRI, but the actual implementations might still be using version 2.3.1 or whatever.
Exactly.
So there's the variance between what is being certified to, made available, but not necessarily implemented for one reason or another in the actual location. And there are a variety of the jurisdictions have different requirements, so it's different. It is in place and it's not being put in as part of somebody's attestation that they therefore don't need to be on the more current version. All kinds of different reasons why it could be different.
Right, exactly. And that's kind of my point, is trying to tease out and get a better understanding of what does certified deployed actually mean from a practical standpoint.
I think that then the direction is more that is a recommend that ONC include or explores understanding actual implementations and use versus what is certified, whether it is whatever it is, whether it's messaging or whether it's documents or whether it's et cetera. That's, I think, like what you're looking
for. Well, it was a suggestion again from a public health background, you know, trying to look and say, hey, especially that would apply to other exchanges as well. Okay, it's great to be certified for something, but what are you actually using? Because that would help drive, is what's being certified actually used? So does it make any sense to have, potentially, have that standard as a certification standard if it's actually not in use at the end of the day?
And I believe that in the insights component, there is one of the proposed measures is around use of, look that up to get the exact language.
There's an insights measure that's related to immunization reporting, but that's looking at a count. And of course, the measure as described doesn't address the fact that in some cases, patient is saying, hey, you're not allowed to disclose my data to an immunization registry in Texas unless I've got patient authorization. I can't keep data sent to me. So that's not relevant here. It's just that's an element in the insights measure that's being addressed in other places. But the fundamental piece here, I think, is that if we're not tracking, if there's not good measurement of whether the standards that are actually being certified or in use, then we either don't have the right standards that we're certifying to, or we really need to reconsider what certification means. Is there any value in certification?
So one comment that I would have on this is it seems that this really belongs more under the insights condition as opposed to the discontinuing your themed editions.
I think so. That's a better spot because it's about measuring, not about content of editions.
Yeah, it probably should be moved.
Okay. And with a move, are we comfortable with this as it stands?
Well, I just worry a little bit about the rhetoric in this one. And it says compliance with standards, and then it goes on about usage. They have to use it before you have to worry about compliance. And I think they should be tied together stronger. Usage of message answers and then compliance with the specification is, I think, what we're talking about. I mean, you're saying in the second sentence that it does provide information about usage. So that's the intent. I just think the rhetoric isn't quite clear.
I think the word compliance is tripping people up.
Yeah. I think it would also be is that if it focuses more what is actually being used and what is being certified against, that's, I think, the essence.
Right. It probably should be usage of messaging standards rather than compliance. Yeah.
Not an easy one to measure, by the way. We have had a variety of discussions on how can you figure out which version of what standard is used where. That is, can be all over the place based on do the vendors have that information, have clients implemented variations. It's all over the place. It's not an easy one.
Yeah, because the other implication, again, on the receiver standpoint, thinking about it from a public health perspective as examples, where different public health agencies may have different tweaks. We're not necessarily aware on the public health side about a tweak that another agency has made. And gaining an understanding of the burden on providers about how many things they're supporting would be really helpful and help drive consolidation on the other side. Say, oh, well, somebody else is using this other variant. Well, we can use that too. And you've reduced the number of variants, trying to get to back to a single stream.
How do we feel about this now?
In that context, I would suggest to drop the word messaging, because I think that it is triggered by a message scenario, imaging, but it's not necessarily limited to messaging. And then examples, if it is usage of interoperability standards, it's, I think, like you're asking for across the board, just what have you been certified to and what are providers or parties using the software actually using for one reason or another.
Right. And I think from the examples list, it's not so much HL7 V2, it's looking at implementation guides and constraints.
Right. So since we're mentioning it generally, I'm not convinced we need to have the examples in there.
Okay.
So it's like it would include like cancer reporting standard, et cetera.
But what's the harm of examples? It makes it clearer.
Then perhaps use the examples of ELR or immunization guides.
Well, I don't care which ones you use, but
ELR is one of the ones that has the widest variations. Immunizations has variations, but not as many.
Because it's two pieces. One, it's a variant from what the certification standard is, and then how many kind of underneath that.
Right. NCPDP is very tight.
So are we comfortable with where this is now?
I think it's more clear. It's just a general concern of, but it's reasonable to recommend that they look at that. This is a harder one to get easy measures on if it counts.
Hans, would you feel better about the word develop rather than include?
Consider, I think, would be, and I know that it has been considered. We've had a number of discussions on that, and that is one of the ones on trying to get down to which version exactly is used and how many transactions are going one flavor or another flavor. It's a hard one to get to. So it would have to be at a much more general level to become viable to get information about.
Yeah, I've got no thought about trying to be overburdensome and forcing the issue, but if it's there, it would certainly be helpful.
Okay, so we've softened it to consider and support the development of metrics. regarding usage of interoperability standards in deployed health IT.
Do we want to include the word insight somewhere, or is that inappropriate?
Yeah, I've got it in a comment here. So we've still got, or I had it in a comment. So we want to move this to the insights condition, right?
And maybe one additional one under the where it says interoperability standards, after that, versions and variations. Because it's the variations that are the ones that where the inconsistencies come up. It's the same version, different variation of it.
That would be in the EG?
Before it's interoperability.
Okay, got it. Okay, versions.
And it would probably be standard versions and variations, just getting rid of the S and a comma.
And yeah, agreed.
I don't think that sentence is really a good sentence right now. Recommend support the development of metrics regarding the uses. It just kind of runs on and on. It's not clear. Are we also looking at the usage of versions? And we're looking at the variation versions in the stuff that's used, right? Anyway.
Usage of interoperability standards, I think. Still, versions. So it's the use of the standards. What do we say?
Apostrophe. No standards apostrophe. Or you solve it the other way.
How's that?
Yeah, okay. That's okay.
We're good?
Steve, you're a good craftsman, Steve.
Okay, I'm going to leave the comment here for ONC to move that rather than trying to do that myself. Okay, let's keep moving. The next area of interest is down on page 10. There was a set of quotations that Steve, Ike and I were questioning. I think this is probably a Phil recommendation. Yeah, you're here, Phil. So this recommendation at the bottom of page 10, recommend that ONC extend the provisions and criteria addressing, quote, unduly disadvantaging small and startup health IT developers of certified health IT, end quote, of this and other base EHR criteria to consider inclusion of an impact to specialty and non-EHR developers. Are we quoting somebody or something here? I just didn't know what to do with these quotation marks.
We are, but good call out. So this is in HTI 1 in the discussion section on insights and conditions.
Okay. All right. If we are indeed quoting someone, I didn't know if we were quoting you or something else, but if this is in there, then I'm cool with it.
It is. I did change the tense, I think, on unduly. So it is not, there's one or two words in there that are not a direct quote to make it fit with the sentence. So
can we cite the source? It's a quote. Can we give a reference to the where it came from?
No problem with that. I'll find it here in HTI1.
Thank you so much.
Here, what if we just do that? I just moved your quotation.
This is a really messy sentence, by the way.
Recommend that ONC extend the provisions and criteria addressing unduly disadvantaging of this and other base EHR criteria. Yeah, I'm not quite sure what this means. I mean, except that we want protection for small EHR and non-EHR developers, but I don't, this is in reference to insights condition and maintenance of certification.
That is correct. So of this is referring to the insights condition. And then I go further to say, we need to have these same type of considerations in other base EHR criteria, which is complementary to the recommendation on US CDI, making provisions for specialty and non-EHRs.
So I think this is probably one of them where we want ONC to consider or explore, right?
I think so.
Yep, that's fine.
But you know that recommendation 20. I think there's something wrong with the sentence.
It's not 20. They're all XX. We haven't numbered them yet. Okay, how about that? I think this might actually make it a little clearer.
Vision and criteria.
Are you okay with that, Phil?
This is Steve. Just real fast, I think the same to the last line, we need to remove consider and change inclusion to include. Good. Or something in that space.
Yeah, because we got consider up above. Perfect.
Correct.
Okay.
Could we say something, so this looks good, of an impact on specialty and non-EHR developers alongside small and startup HIT developers?
It should be EHR HIT developers.
Non-EHR HIT developers.
I think the additional phrase you suggested, Phil, is sort of overkill.
Okay. So
yeah. Can I accept these changes to this?
This looks good. Yep.
I think you need two commas in there. One after inclusion. Oh.
Okay, let me get there. Let me just clean it up a little. One F inclusion.
And then I think before inclusions of an E. Where's our real grammarian here?
Recommend that.
It should be at least include instead of inclusions.
Yeah, include. Oh yeah, no. But he was
consider extending the criterion
to
include.
So we were considering the impact, but now we want to include
consideration of impact, right? Maybe not. Maybe just include.
Or maybe just by on specialty and get rid of everything between criteria and on.
Yeah. No, to include specialty and non-EHR HIT developers. You're asking them to be part of the the purview of entities.
Right.
Right, the criteria of the insights condition as a base, EHR on non-EHR HIT developers.
Consider extending the provisions to include specialty and non-EHR HIT developers.
I like it. Let's go with it.
But with the provisions, it's the burden provisions, right? So they were looking at burden on startup HIT, and we're saying do the same for. I just worry provisions might be over, it might encompass the entire.
Overly generalized.
Yeah, right. the burden considerations, the burden exceptions, the burden provisions is fine.
Yeah. Wrap.
It's good to me.
Okay, thank you. All right, thank you, Phil, for letting us do that. Okay, next one is, let's go down further. We're getting pretty clean here. Okay, Devin, we are on the bottom of page 14. I think we've resolved this. We had this discussion, right? Resolve. I think you just made some of these changes. This is okay, but that's fine. This is wordsmithing. Thank you. Love it. All right. Ike, you had some questions about the reference in the rationale at the top of page 15.
I think those are resolved.
Been over that. Yeah. He clarified
okay.
that. I do have them up on the screen, and I cannot find a section 3002 in the 21st Century CARES Act.
I'll check the reference. That's the public law reference as opposed to what it got codified as.
I will check it. Yeah, I'm looking at the law myself.
You're looking at the law. This is from the public law.
That's what I'm looking at. But please validate the reference. I just make sure we get it referred to correctly.
I'll do that while we're, I'll try to multitask.
Okay, Maggie, you had some questions about which of these items were meant to be referred to the annual report work group. Are you clear on that now? Maggie, you're on mute. Or maybe called away. Mike, can I just leave this to you to work with Maggie on that? I think you got it right.
Yeah, I think we understood your thumbs up. So I think we're good now.
Perfect. Great. All right. Which brings us to Ike's question about just consistency of capitalization of certified health IT. Again, I think we'll just leave that to the ONC team to consider. So we are awaiting a validated reference.
There's a typo. I just see it right now. There's a typo on the very last line on the screen with a spacing issue.
What page are we on? What page is this? Typo, very last line. There's a spacing weirdness here.
Yep.
I got the spacing. Okay, was that it? The typo was just the spacing. Okay.
Yep. Okay. I've been going through trying to find double spacing.
Oh, you're amazing. You are the space master. All right.
Just give them space.
That's right. What I'm seeing is a need for a validated reference, a need to move one item down into a different section. And that's all I'm seeing here.
Anybody if it would be helpful, I'm happy to, I used to do copy editing. I'd be happy to go through and look for typos and stuff.
Well, you've got the link. I mean, yeah, I think we've got a lot of pretty committed editors here. Actually, I will go ahead and move that item down to the insights condition just since I can.
I promise I won't add any fun new recommendations.
We trust you.
Recommend the ONC add puppy sitting to.
There were puppies at HIMSS, Anna.
Yeah, that's become the new thing.
Wow. What a brilliant idea.
Puppy pen.
Wow.
Steve, I don't want to, I realize that it sounded like we didn't have any new issues to discuss other than a couple of little housekeeping matters. And I had forwarded to you and Ike something that I got, that I became aware of probably because I've been following the patient act, different patient access standards and policies, et cetera. And there is an insights condition around reporting of metrics on patient access to data. And I wasn't part of the insights work group, at least I don't think I was. So I'm wondering if that was discussed and just the group felt like there wasn't a comment to be made or whether we missed that one or.
I'm sorry. So say again, where are you?
I'm not in the document. Because
I understand.
There is an insights condition that was proposed as part of HTI.
Right. Right. You're on tab 3, row 2, insights condition. That's where we manage that.
Right. I don't think it takes up anything around a proposed spec for collecting data on individuals' access to EHI and connections of apps through the Fire API. And this seems like data that at least I would support them collecting. I don't know if it is something that came up in the work group that handled the insights conditions, or whether we missed it, or whether we deliberately decided not to opine on it.
So this was a group three topic. So maybe Hung, you have a recollection. I'm in the spreadsheet, and maybe we can pop to the spreadsheet.
I'm going to put the spec in the chat.
Okay.
No recommendations were made on that particular one, so we did include a recommendation.
Okay. Did it come up? Was it ever like on the agenda and nobody had anything to say about it, or we?
There was no specific subject matter expert presenting on that particular subset or that, okay, or that so, particular item. I don't think we reviewed each individual insights potential element for discussion.
It was what people raised on the call.
As a group, right. If someone raised it, happy to discuss, but I don't think it was, I don't recall it ever being raised.
So Devin, now I've got your spec doc up. Which one of these are you talking about?
It wouldn't be on the spreadsheet, Steve.
No, I'm looking at the spec you just put in the chat.
Oh, that is the spec. That's the entirety of it.
Okay, it wasn't one of those that you were curious that you were coming. It was the whole of them.
Yeah, this has been proposed as a measure. So, you know, my inclination is to support it, but it hasn't been brought up for discussion.
Well, we can certainly do that. So basically, this was put out in April. Measure ID and version, interop individual access, 1B1. And you're just saying that you think we should support the inclusion of this particular measure in the insights condition.
Yes, that is my proposal.
I like that.
And it'd be very simple add. We support.
Yes. Blah, blah, yeah, blah. Just one more recommendation. Anyone have any concerns about that?
Only a friendly amendment. How do we link it to our earlier discussion on tracking?
It's not related to tracking.
Okay.
It's just about whether patient through certified EHR is accessing their information, such as through the API. It's not at all related to transparency.
Okay.
Activity. It's about to what extent are individuals using the APIs, to what extent are apps being connected by individuals to APIs. Seems like we have anecdotal data on that, and maybe some entities publishing their own experience, but we're not systematically collecting that data.
So are you looking at adding a numerator to the set?
No, this is criteria has already been proposed. And part of the scope of a proposed rule is if you like and endorse something that ONC is proposing to make part of the insights condition, I'm proposing that we say, yes, we agree.
Okay.
I don't see any changes that I would make, but I don't.
Okay, so I have put this on page 10 of our document near the bottom. And so why don't we pop over there and take a look at that.
Now I can focus on fixing that site.
Thank you. We're working you hard, Devin.
That's why I'm here.
And all of us are getting to the age where multitasking is getting harder.
Oh my God.
Okay, so recommendation. Recommend that ONC include in the insights condition, measure ID and version, interop individual access, 1B1, measure title, individuals access to electronic health information.
a question that I had. Generally, I thought, or that maybe somewhere else that we had, is that when we support something, we had more of a general comment, or if we didn't comment on it, we support it. This one we exclusively pull out. And I'm not necessarily disagreeing with it, but does this, by pulling this one out, does that mean that others should then start to list others as well? Or do we have still some general comment to say is that where we did not comment, we support? Or what general...
If you don't mind, let me frame why I raised it above the others, which is that had I had the... had I been a little bit more on top of things and realized that I had something to raise in the insights condition, I would have joined that work group and raised it in regular order. So now that this is before the task force, in the same way that any of these recommendations came from someone within a subgroup proposing it to be included in our comments, I'm proposing it to be included in our comments. Doesn't mean that we don't, that there aren't other insight conditions that might be worthy of supporting. We didn't do an exhaustive review of them, but I'm trying to exercise an opportunity to put it in front of us as a task force, because I think it's worth endorsing in the same way that each of our comments was raised because someone in one of the work groups or in the task force writ large thought it was worth a comment.
No, I'm not arguing and debating that. It's more the flow of the comments that we made. I thought we had somewhere a general comment about things that we support, we put in one place, or that there is an assumption, understanding that is clarified, that anything where we don't have any particular comments other than support, that we would do it in one way. That's the only reason, not to argue whether to support or not.
Yeah, so I don't think we included yet in this document a general statement like that. You know, in the absence of specific comments, we support the what was included in the NPRM. We could, I think that, I don't, you know, not having had that to think about for a few days, I'm a little worried about doing that.
It seems like a better framing, even though that approach may have been something that was done in the past, a better framing might be, you know, that the members of the high tech identified the following as worthy of comment. And so it's not that we're in, you know, expressly endorsing all the things we didn't specifically ask to change, but instead just highlighting those that were raised in our advisory committee discussions.
Something that emphasizing that in particular, these ones, this one being a clear one of those that we yeah. Support. Okay. As long as that's clear that the implication of something being there or not being there, what that means.
I understand.
So is the point of this just to have developers or institutions report the number of individuals who have accessed their electronic health data? Is that so that we have a map around that?
Yep.
Okay. I like that.
Any concerns with this? Okay. And that reference on page 14, how are we doing with that? It's time for public comment. Let's see, team. Am I right? Is it time for public comment? I think it is.
Yeah, we can break for comment. If you're on Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the hand raise function located on the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you're on the phone only, press *9 to raise your hand, and when it's called upon, press *6 to mute and unmute your line. So let's pause just for a moment to see if any members of the public raise their hand. Not seeing anyone, so I'll turn it back to our co-chairs.
Thanks. I will just again acknowledge the hard work of the members of the public who have been joining us all these long weeks. And thank you for your participation. Devin is crafting something up on page 4. We could make her really nervous by watching her craft it, or we could just.
I was trying to insert something at the top to try to get the point that Hans just made.
Yeah. So what she added was, the following recommendations represent the views of the task force regarding particular provisions of HTI-1. How do you feel about that, Hans? Do you like that? Works for me.
Sure.
Any objections, anyone? Thank you, Devin, as always. All right. And did we make any progress on that reference down below?
I'm on it right now.
Okay. I know. We keep pulling you away.
Sorry for the pressure.
Yeah. No, that's okay. We don't have to do that during the meeting, I don't think.
Hold on. I'm very close.
Okay. Let's just be quiet and then let Devin work. Mike, are you feeling good about this? The process, the outcome?
What was the public law?
I'm feeling great.
Good.
How about the puppy's recommendation, Mike?
Yeah, we got to add that. I think that goes on page 10 somewhere.
Yeah, I do a final review of this before it gets published, so.
Good.
And
good.
I put a note in our Slack about the Tesca Manor section. I don't know if you caught that.
Participant
and sub-participant should be capitalized.
Oh, okay. What page is that?
Maybe Dan can do a word search for me of sub-participant. I'm sure there's only one in this whole document. There it is.
Where are you?
Participant?
Page 13. Okay.
There are too many advisory committees in the CURES Act.
Well, I was looking at
there the reference. Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Dan. Just, you're on it.
The reference you had was in section 3000.
Yeah.
I was reflecting earlier today on our presentation to HITECH and in really feeling very grateful for the input and expertise that all of the members have brought to this discussion. And we just got deep expertise in a number of areas, and it's really been a pleasure to help to organize all of that and bring it together like this. So you should all be prepared for praise next week.
Yeah, and congrats, Stephen and I. This has just been tremendous progress. I don't know if you guys got any sleep last night, but
not much.
But appreciate it. Yeah.
Okay. I think I got it.
Yay. This is like, you know, final exams in law school, right? Thank you, Mark. We appreciate you also. We're just gonna have one big group hug here. Do you want to put it in or do you want me to?
Oh, I can.
Yeah, feel free.
Yeah. Okay.
And we'll know we get it right. We're at the bottom of 14. Yeah, right there.
Yeah, thank you. Put it in there and start the chat.
That's it?
Yep.
All right. Going once, going twice. So aren't you supposed to put that weird little squiggly thing in there instead of saying section?
If you know the macro for that, feel free to use it. I'll let ONC fix it if it needs to. Thankfully, I don't do enough litigation documents that I'm easily, it requires a macro and I don't remember how to do it.
I always figured they'd teach you that on the first day of law school.
Yeah, they do, but that's the kind of stuff that you decide you don't necessarily need to remember. And by using the term macro, I'm revealing my age. Like that was like a word perfect term.
I thought about just copy and paste on this one.
I was going to say we must have a section reference somewhere in this document.
And drop it in.
That we could copy down. All right. We are going to finish 2.5 minutes early if no one objects. I will just continue to thank you all for your time and attention. And we are not going to have to meet as a group on Monday. We'll talk to ONC. We'll put this together into slides. I think you can trust us not to mess that up. And then we will hopefully have all of you participating as part of the high-tech presentation, either in person or virtually. And
thank
with
you,
that,
Stephen and I, for all of your work on this.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
It's been fun. See you next week. Take care.
Take care, all.
Bye-bye.